digging in a little deeper on some very erroneous information. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, my Vice Chairman, a good friend, fellow analyst, and policy detective, Chuck Michaels.
And as we've shown in these programs, this can be an interesting enterprise, but it's also a time-consuming enterprise sometimes. Barry, being a discerning reader is not always quick and easy, although as you practice it, it does get quicker and easier, wouldn't you say so?
Well, yeah, it's like anything else. The more that you practice it, the more that you know, it's like learning a language. The more that you hear it and see it after you've learned the rules and you've been able to apply the rule to the example, every time you see a new example, it comes back to you. So, yes, the more you do this, the more you read, the more you study it, the better you get at it. So don't feel bad if you're sitting there like, well, I didn't hear any of what they heard in there. It's because, at least, Chuck, for you, I know you've had some formal training. I've sat at your feet and had some informal training on this. And honestly, once you get an idea of some of the different types of fallacies that are out there and what they consist of, which is a pretty not a horribly huge list, and it's not difficult. It's not like we're trying to learn Latin or Greek or anything. It becomes fairly easy to spot these things because you just have to know. I guess my saying is, my presupposition is, everything that comes to me from the media or from a politician, I just assume it's filled with logical fallacies, and it's just my job to figure out which ones they are.
Well, yeah, exactly. We listened to a little clip yesterday, and we ended on it, and we were just in the beginning of analyzing it. We're just going to show you how to do this, and really, we've taught some of these techniques in our Institute on the Constitution classes. We've taught these at Camp American. In fact, I got one of the greatest compliments I could get from one of my students who said, you know, that class you taught, this was from a student who had this thing like 6 or 7 years ago while he was in high school, and he said, that class served me so well when I got to college, you wouldn't believe it. And this was a crummy little two-hour presentation on informal fallacies that, you know, I handed out a little piece of paper that gave a quick description. And maybe we'll just make that little piece of paper with my presentation on it available on our website, just so people can have a look at it.
Excellent.
You know, it's nothing particularly stunning or big, but we'll make it available so maybe people can follow along with some of these shows and then go back and listen to them on our website. Okay, I'm going to play this clip, a little bit of this clip. We're probably starting a weird spot, but I want to get to the part that we ended on.
The sin of our great nation. Notably, this legislation would only modify an existing statute or law which has already been found constitutional by the United States Supreme Court. Currently, an individual who engages in hostilities against the United States on behalf of an armed force of a foreign state has committed an expatriating act.
Okay, we have discussed this problem, and I'm not sure we were as clear as we should have been on what was wrong with the case, and this is in the case Ex Parte Querin. And I'm not going to go over this again. It's on an old show. You can go back and listen to it on our website. And if you're really interested, we'll make up a CD with those shows on it. In Ex Parte Querin, it was some German spies who were landed, and at least one of them wasn't actually an American citizen. And what the court ruled was that this person had abrogated their right to citizenship, their naturalization, because they were born in Germany and then naturalized, had abrogated their American citizenship by joining the German army in 1941. There is a major problem with that. This is one of those places where corkscrew logic has taken place, and there are two possibilities. The Supreme Court was wrong in declaring that this person was not an American citizen. In other words, this person, Haupt was his name, deserved a treason trial rather than a trial as a spy. Or the whole argument that Congressman Dent is making here is incorrect, because if this person was not an American citizen, then this law does not hold for American citizens who commit a crime. You can't have it both ways.
That's right.
Either the court was wrong in declaring this person's citizenship null and void, and he should have had a treason trial, or Congressman Dent is wrong, because the Supreme Court can't strip someone of their American citizenship. The Constitution is clear. You cannot be stripped of your citizenship by merely performing an act.
Well, so the other thing that the Constitution's clear on, Chuck, and I just wanted to interject here real quick, and part of the reason why I believe Dent is bringing this bill forward to start with, is that the Constitution already has a mechanism And even the immigration law, the section of the immigration law that he's trying to amend, already has a mechanism. It's called finding of treason. See, but that right. has to go through the Supreme Court.
The well, court it has to go through the whole of the federal court system.
The whole of the federal court system, that's right. And it has to be found and adjudicated, and there are certain rules. And what Dent's really getting at, and this is where we get back to what we talked about yesterday in that word pragmatic, is that they don't want to be bound by the rules. Now, he said that, you know, had already been found constitutional. Well, yes, it's in the Constitution that somebody can be tried for treason, and there are certain ways and certain things they were doing, which is taking up hostilities against the United States or giving aid and comfort to their enemies. That's the constitutional measure for
which. Yes. That's in fact, this is a matter of legal definition, and it's not something you need a law degree to understand. It is laid out directly in the United States Constitution. If you go to war against the United States as an enemy soldier or give aid and comfort to an enemy in a time of war, you have committed treason. You're not convicted of treason yet. And in fact, you cannot simply be declared treasonous. You have to go through a trial. And what Congressman Dent wants to do is avoid the trial. He wants the President of the United States to be able to declare that someone is no longer a U.S. citizen so we can avoid the court system. There are so many fallacies mixed up in here. It's almost hard to separate them. And there's an appeal to patriotism. If you really love the United States, you'll go along with this thing idea of stripping people of their citizenship without trial. This is the way it was done in Germany. This is the way people were expatriated in Germany so they could be sent off to camps. Now, you've got vague terms and shifting definitions or the equivocation fallacy here. Like we've pointed out, you can't have things two ways. A is not B and B is not A and A cannot be B, if you understand the illustration I'm trying to make.
Sure.
A is not A. Anything that's not A is not A. B is not A. I may have confused that, so I'm... But the fact is that the Supreme Court was either wrong or Congressman Dent is wrong now. Because if the Supreme Court stripped this person of their citizenship, then the idea that an American citizen can be held and that it is constitutional cannot be. Because he wasn't an American citizen when he was tried as a spy. So he can't be both a citizen and not a citizen at the same time, if you get what I'm saying.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah,
Let's move on.
They're in a logical bind.
That's right. This is the corkscrew legal logic once again. Sure. Let's go on.
Against the United States, on behalf of an armed force of a foreign state, has committed an expatriating act. Our legislation clarifies that engaging in hostilities by supporting terrorism would also constitute an expatriating act. Decades ago, the greatest threat to our national security was posed by foreign states, including Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan. Today, however, international terrorist networks like Al-Qaeda have equaled and in some cases exceeded the threat posed by any foreign state currently hostile to the United States. Simply put.
Okay, let's go back. First of all, we brought up the specter very early on in this piece of Anwar al-Awlaki that you and I talked about, I think, in our second week on the air.
Yes, I believe so.
Let's talk about this. Now, what did we just hear? That the Al-Qaeda network actually poses a more extreme danger than we faced in World War II from the combined forces of the Germans, Japanese, and Italians. Barry, do you think that's true?
No, that's hyperbole. There's no way.
Again, what kind of an appeal do you suppose that is?
It's an appeal to fear.
That's exactly what it is. It's an appeal to fear fallacy. The fact is that Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, name your group, does not have U-boats patrolling the Atlantic coast of the United States of America, sinking shipping. The Taliban do not occupy the vast portions of Europe with a fortified beaches that are keeping us from invading. Has Al-Qaeda got in the United States prepared to do bad things? Yeah, sure they have.
Let's back up just one second and think about this, because he said the armed forces of a foreign state. Now, as far as I remember, Al-Qaeda is a decentralized, non-state-centered organization.
That's right. They're stateless.
Because in order to identify where they were, The U.S. Defense Department were calling them Al-Qaeda in Iraq, Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda in X, Y, and Z. They were telling where they were located or where their home base was, but not that they were Al-Qaeda of Iraq, Al-Qaeda of Iran. See, that's the whole key. What it gets down to is we have to be clear in defining our terms.
Exactly. Again, we have the vague terms and shifting definitions, and that is the equivocation fallacy. So far, I'd say the vast majority of what we've seen here is this is one large equivocation fallacy coupled with appeals to fear, appeals to patriotism. And that appeal to patriotism is really strong in the front. If you're an American citizen, you're concerned about this and you want to strip these people of their citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those are the big three that we're seeing: equivocation, appeal to patriotism, and an appeal to fear. And funny, I hate to bring this up, but the fact is this is how it was done in Germany. This is how people's liberties were taken away piece by piece through appeals to patriotism, appeals to fear. The fear was of communists, and they threw the Jews in on top of that. And the Jews, of course, became number one at some point, although Slavs and anyone who was quote unquote non-Aryan got thrown into the mix as being a potential enemy. Okay,
right.
Let's go on and see what else we can find in here.
This bill modernizes the process by which the citizenship status.
Okay, I hate to break it up that quick. What did you hear in there?
It modernizes the process. Wait a minute. Now, what he's saying is our process, we don't like the way our process is working, so we're going to fix it by changing it.
Bingo. It's an appeal to modernity. The current process is antique. In other words, the mechanism for treason that's set up in the Constitution is really for yesterday.
Well, that lends to the idea that the Constitution isn't valid today either.
Aha. Bingo. What these guys really are appealing for is that the Constitution is no longer adequate. No longer contains adequate mechanisms for dealing with this problem. And Barry, that goes along with some questioning I've had. In fact, questioning I had in a hearing for a new constitutional convention in 2010. I was actually asked this question, and it was along exactly the same lines. It said, okay, hey, I'm going to give you a theoretical scenario. Al-Qaeda has invaded and occupies the east coast of the United States. And my first reaction was, now I did not answer this way because I was being diplomatic, but my first reaction was, I really didn't think the Pakistani fishing fleet had that many seaworthy vessels that they could get that many guys over here at once to invade and occupy the east coast of the United States. The scenario was, we don't have enough money in the treasury to run our super carriers. We're going to need our super carriers to sink the Pakistani fishing fleet that's bringing all these guys over from, you know, they have to round the Cape of Good Hope and all that stuff.
Isn't that something?
I mean, this was laughable, and yet this is the kind of appeal to fear that we are getting. The fact is, we don't need a new constitutional convention to handle that problem. We just need to move the seat of government out of Washington, D.C., and a little further west into the territory still occupied by the rest of the United States. But, of course, Al-Qaeda is never going to occupy the east coast of the United States. So some of these things are plain silly. But what we've got here, what he has done, he has basically said, okay, we need to modernize our mechanisms, and what we need to do is make it easier to strip people of their rights. And I hate to do this, but we're out of time again. Would you like to complete the expiration of this piece tomorrow?
I believe we probably need to, and I hope our listeners are going to bear with us on this, because it's highly important that we understand that even though it may be something we're passionate about, if we don't come to it honestly and we don't come to it and look at the possible ramifications of our acts, both positive and negative, we can create very many large problematic areas. And that's what this legislation is doing. It's trying to address an issue by making other issues that are even worse. And that's what we're trying to point out. And that's the reason why you need to think through it clearly and listen between the lines and listen logically. Come back tomorrow at 5:30 for more principles and policies and more fallacy detection. We'll see you tomorrow.